I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, doing something a little bit different. It's still productivity related, but I'm going to talk about beer. Wait a minute, it's not that different because I've talked about beer before. But this one is about going 1 year with no beer. Seems daunting. For me, especially. I do like my beer. I've got a beer cellar, for crying out loud. The 1 year no beer crew is on the show with me today. Andy Ramage and Rory Fairbairns. Fairbairns. See, I knew I was going to mess that up. It's hard to say his name, but that's okay. We actually talked about this during the episode. So Rory Fairbairns is on the show with me along with Andy Ramage. They are the crew behind the 1 year no beer movement. It's a challenge to stop drinking for 30, 90, and 365 days and focus on diet, exercise, and the mind. They're the founders of 1 Year No Beer, and it has over 5,000 members as of when we recorded this. I'm sure there's more. At least there's one more, and I'll get to that in a second, in 72 countries since they launched in February of 2016. Now, why is there one more member? I took on the challenge. During this episode, you'll hear them call me out and say, would you like to do the challenge? You'll hear what challenge I did during the episode, so I'm not going to spoil that for you. I don't think it's the one you think it is. Maybe it is, I don't know. But you'll hear that during this episode as well. And, of course, if you're a Patreon supporter, you should be listening to the Patreon edition of the show because you're going to get an additional 10 minutes or so of content there. But we'll talk more about that for those of you who aren't Patreon members as we wrap up the show. So let's just get into this right now. I'm going to get this name right. Rory Fairbairns, Andy Ramage of the 1 Year No Beer Movement, the 1 Year No Beer Crew. They are my guests this week on the Productivityist Podcast. Let's get started. I'd like to welcome Rory and Andy from the 1 Year No Beer Movement to the Productivityist Podcast. Before you guys chime in, I want to say this was a difficult episode for me to want to do because 1 year and no beer immediately was kind of like, wait, what? but welcome regardless to both of you.
Welcome-ish.
Yes, thanks, Mike.
So I want to know, I mean, as soon as when you guys were decided that you want to be on the show and we arranged for that to happen, I started to look around and I said, this is fascinating to me, not because of the fact that, you know, what you guys are doing is, I mean, when it comes to removing beer from the equation, there are some obvious benefits. But the fact that you guys did it in this, you know, like this 30, 90, 365 day program to kind of, make it measurable, I thought was fascinating. So, Andy, why don't you start off and just kind of say, how did you two meet? And then secondly, what propelled you to kind of, start this movement?
I guess if we go back a bit, me and Ruby worked together for about 10 years in an oil brokerage called PVM. Ruby's still there now. Actually, I left about 4 years ago. And so we were very close, very entrepreneurial, very successful in that business. And then that business entails lots and lots of drinking. That's what you do. It's how you do business. It's how you socialize. It's how you make new clients. So we found ourselves sort of wrapped up in this world that was all about alcohol. And to be successful, you need alcohol. And then around about 4 years ago, actually, I sort of started to look at various different productivity methods, started exercising, diet, went through all the usual sort of stuff. And obviously never even looked at alcohol. It just wasn't on the radar. It was just accepted that was always going to be something that I needed to do to be successful in business. But then the hangovers started to really drag on. Rather than be one day, they were 3 days. I felt lethargic. I wasn't quite myself. So I decided to sort of take a break. And this was, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be sort of 2 months. And then eventually I plucked up the courage to try and do a longer stint. And I think I was about 3 months in and I had my 40th, funnily enough, in Ireland, in Dublin, the home of sort of drink. And I didn't drink on that occasion. And Rory actually got wind of this and he just could not believe that, the Andy Ramage that he knew could actually go to Ireland.
Andy not drinking.
Yeah. Rory jump in. But
unfathomable.
Yeah, exactly. That this guy, I was the first in the bar and the last guy out. That was my personality. I had a big reputation for this. I built a business around it. And then suddenly I'd stopped drinking. And, it was different in that I wasn't told to stop drinking. There's people in our industry or people that we know have reached that point where they are told, you have one more drink, you're going to die scenario. This wasn't, a dead end story, of a rock bottom story. It was actually, I want to be a bit better. So that inspired Ruri, and suddenly there were two of us. And from that, we sort of started to you know, meet together a lot and talk about different ideas about well-being generally. And then from that blossomed the idea for One You Know Beer, making it into a challenge. Could we help ourselves first and foremost, and could we then help others? And that's sort of where it all came from.
And did you try to do the old, and I mean, I think we've all tried this at some point, where the hangovers were there, and instead of, you know, getting to the root of the problem, you said, well, what if I drink a water with every beer? Or what if I have the two, like, did you have like a hangover kit that you put in place to kind of keep things going? Or was it, you just kind of, was it a quick, rapid, like, okay, I'm tired of the hangovers, I'm just going to make the shift? Or was it, let me see if I can hack this first. Was that kind of what you did it before you went all in?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I watered the plants. I mean, literally, you know, watered the plants. I'd go out with clients and I'd have a glass of wine that I would never drink out of. And I'd just try to, you know, let it get refilled. I tried gin and tonics. I moved back onto beer. I moved onto vodka. I tried, you know, bottles only, 1 pint limits. You know, personally, I tried every single little hack in the book. But, you know, again, this is very personal in this sense because everyone's different. But for me, all roads led to the same place, was a big monster session where I'd wake up the next morning, get, you know, with those whispering those immortal words, never again. So no, mine was a slow process over a few years of trying everything and failing by trying everything. And that was when I realized, for me personally anyway, the best way to try and get a grip on this was to take a long-term break.
Now, Ruri, what about you? Did you kind of just say, well, if Handy can do it, I can do it? Or were you already there and you're like, join the club, you know, let's make this thing happen?
Yeah, so to put it into a bit of perspective, I'm born from on the Isle of Mull in the west coast of Scotland. So, I mean, I was basically born in a barrel of whiskey. You know, I've never been that crazy drinker. You know, I'm not drinking at home on my own. I'm not going to pubs on my own. But it's just a job that requires you to do an awful lot of drinking. And, you know, the reason why Andy and I are now an authority on giving up alcohol is because it was years of practice to finally crack it. And we want to, you know, that's why we built One Year No Beer, was to help people skip some of that or a lot of that. You know, all these little tactics of putting Beck's Blue in a pint glass to make it look like a pint so nobody knows, you know, just loads of little tricks that we had to try and get away with. Because, you know, the public out there, a lot of them don't understand if you're not drinking. They get frightened.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's funny. I've brought Beck's, like the de-alkalized Beck's to, which is what Beck's Blue is, right? Really,
that's the de-alkalized. It, yeah.
Yeah, I would bring it with me to parties because it looked like the, when I was driving, because I like the taste of beer. I actually do like the taste of beer.
Agreed.
And I would bring it with me to parties when I was driving. And people would, because my wife doesn't drink very much at all, but she wanted to drink. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. I'll just bring Beck's. And people were, the looks you get when you bring de-alkalized beer, like, why are you drinking it at all? I'm like, because I like the taste of beer. Yeah, but don't you just, the idea of drinking to get drunk never really appealed to me. And I mean, again, living in Canada, especially in Victoria, we have the oldest, you know, independent brew pub in all of Canada here in Spinnaker's. And I mean, we are, in terms of craft brewing, we have so many options here. But for me, and I guess this is where this was appealing, is I have found that, you know, I'm IPA'd out. You know, like I've had, you know, I mean, I've enjoyed a good IPA, but I'm at the point where it's like, I have had, you know, when your untapped beer app is reaching, you know, like, wow, I've tried 300 different beers. Is there more for me to, you know, I'm at the point now where my books that I've read recently equal the amount of beers I've tried. And that was not the same for a long time. Like, well, look, I've read 50 books and I've read 300, I've drank 300 beers. What's the disconnect there? So, I mean, when starting this movement, and again, let's talk to Ruri about this. When you started this, you've got the five steps, right? Like the five things that you need to the kind of ways that you can get started with this or get to this, you know, embrace this movement. What was the toughest of those things to kind of crack? I mean, you guys have been doing this for a while, but what was the toughest? Like, was it a time of year where it was tough, where you said, oh boy, this may not be the best time for us to take this on, or this is where this particular step is challenging? Like, can you pinpoint any one in particular, Ruri?
Definitely. And that's a really good question. So I think the hardest part is your own psyche. And that is, there is never a good time to do this. Mm. There is always a wedding. There is always a stag do. There's always a business event. And what you will realize only by doing it, but by listening to other people who've done it as well, is that actually these events that you're most scared of actually become the ones that you find most rewarding afterwards. So you get through the stag do, you get through the business meeting with those colleagues who always drink. And at the end of it, you've become so much more resolute in your decision. You've learnt self-control, you've learnt self-will, you know, willpower, and now you feel, you know, just empowered. And that's the thing, I think, when everybody looks at it, they go, oh God, I could, you know, even the name, 1 year no beer, oh, I couldn't do a year, you know. And you'd say yourself, Mike, you probably feel that yourself, you know, wow.
I just switched to wine. No, I mean,
exactly.
That's the crap rationalization. And everybody's like, well, okay, fine. I can, what do you mean? No bourbon? Come on.
Yeah. Vodka's fine.
but no, you're, I mean, the thing is yeah, it hits you. I mean, I looked at it and the thing is that, and I've thought about this before. And I mean, obviously, you guys, the work you guys have done leading up to this point, now you've got this movement. I mean, there's that idea of, and I was watching this it was a document, it was a movie, and it was about addiction. And I, you know, people said, are you an addict? And you're like, well, I could stop at any time. And that's like a common thing that an addict would say. And I don't think, I mean, looking at what I do, if I don't have a beer or alcohol for 3-4 days, I'm not like, oh no, I need to have one. But the fact that that I could stop makes me want to. Does that make sense in a lot of ways? Like that challenge, which you mentioned as one of the steps, right?
Yeah. I want to prove to myself I could do this. Let's be honest. This is a huge thing to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a big thing to do, to go against your social conditioning, to go against what you're used to. You know, we celebrate alcohol with everything. You know, you're tired. Oh, have a drink. You've had a long day. Have a drink. You want to go to a party. Have a drink. We, you know, to go against that is really big. So the challenge is huge, and it shouldn't be whatever considered small.
No. And so, what can you guys, whoever wants to take the ball and run with this, walk through the challenge itself? Because I think, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and every step to the challenge, like to sign up and get through it, it's like I feel myself going, this seems fascinating, but maybe tomorrow. Like you said, like there's no good day to start. So can you walk through what the steps are to the challenge?
Yeah, I think that the key thing is to pick a date. As we said, tomorrow, you know, never comes, you know, in all these things. You've got to just get stuck in. All the reasons Rui mentioned, you know, there will be a wedding. You'll get the first thing people are going to do, they're going to look at their calendar and go, oh, I can't quite do it because I've got the X, Y, and Z coming up in 2 weeks. Forget that. Do it anyway. Just sign up, get stuck in. I mean, something that we advocate through the whole of this is that if you slip up, it's not the end of the world. So don't worry. This is not, you know, one of those where you're going to get told off or sent to the back of the queue or made to start again. If you slip up, the key is that you learn from your mistakes. So let's get that in the open right now, that you can. We don't encourage slip ups, but if you do, it's very much part of the process, right? You know, it took me 100 goes to crack this. It took Rui, I think he did it straight away without any slip ups. So let's get that in the open. That's not the end of the world. But the process is to sign up. So once you've signed up, you're in the game. It's day one. You'll receive a daily email from the One Year No Beer system, which is timed to sort of approach those things that you're going to need in that moment. So in the early days, it's very much about just quitting alcohol, what you do in social situations. For example, you take out the ringleader. Lots of guys, you know, and girls for that reason have all got that friend that sort of holds court in the pub or the bar. And you need to get those people on side. If you just turn up and announce to all your mates you're not drinking for the night, you're going to get slaughtered. You're going to get twisted. You know, your arm's going to be twisted and they're going to make you end up drinking. So it's very much about preparation. It sounds over the top, but it's absolutely key. We say this time and time again, winging it just doesn't work. You need to prepare and you need to plan all the time. So once you've signed up, you'll get the emails. And then really what we've found has been massively successful is the Facebook group and the forums. It's just our Facebook groups are buzzing. People are in there. It's all positive. People are not in there moaning about, oh, I'd love a drink tonight, or if I only had a glass of wine. It's none of that. It's, I've just signed up for 5K. I've just run a triathlon for the first time. I've just gone back and studied. I feel brilliant. My home life's better. It's very much a positive attitude. So from the very start, and I'm a big part of this, we encourage people to book a challenge, a physical challenge, beyond their current capabilities. If they, you know, if you can just about do 5Ks, book a half marathon, and try and book this for the end of your challenge or towards the end of your challenge, because, you know, this really gives you something to focus on, you know, some tangible reward. Because let's face it, when you stop drinking, you're going to get a lot of time back that was lost before. And this, you know, we can you know, explore this a bit more in terms of productivity, but you get this time back and you get all this energy back, and you've got to do something creative and, you know, productive with it. And having something like a physical challenge really gives you something to aim for. And that's been a huge part of this.
Let's talk about that, Ruri. Let's talk about the idea of getting time back. I mean, besides the time, I mean, I can think of it already, the time spent just sitting on a patio, having in the pub, having a beer or whatever, the time that you, again, the recovery time, all that stuff. I mean, some of the statistics that you guys provided, like 70% of the people that you've worked with on the do you call them like Oinbers or is it
Oinbers?
Oinbers, I like that.
Oinbers. And 60% feel like their anxiety's been reduced. So where have you found that the time? I mean, we can definitely point out the obvious parts where time is, but what about the not so obvious, like where time is regained and where productivity is gained? Where have you found, either for yourself, and Andy, feel free to chime in as well, but that time is, and that productivity increases have come, but maybe the places you didn't expect it to be coming from?
Another fantastic question. I love answering this one because I get to tell you a little analogy. So, you know, we've all been in that situation, and it's a choice. Do you want a beer or don't you want a beer? Maybe you're just at work. Somebody asks you out, do you want a beer? And the choice to say yes to the beer means you go down and you have one beer, and you maybe have another beer, and then, actually, I'll have another one. And then on the way home, you know, you pick up some food you didn't expect, maybe a kebab or something like that. You're slightly late for dinner, and there's this knock-on effect. You know, maybe actually you don't feel so great, so you cancel your personal trainer. I wonder how many personal trainers are cancelled because there was drinking earlier. But this spiral into the negative from one decision carries on, and that's why we say that alcohol is a gateway to health. The flip side of that is, by saying no, is that you get home on time, you do the work that you were supposed to because you're not a little bit bleary-eyed, you're a lot more productive, you still get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and bash out all that stuff. And that is where there's a huge amount of wasted calories, there's a huge amount of wasted money, there's a huge amount of wasted time, and you don't really realize it. When I gave up alcohol during the 90 days, so following on from that, I renovated my house entirely. I was running I'm a full-time broker. We set up the 1 year no beer, and the 1 year no beer thing has grown enormously. I mean, it's been viral around the world. We've got the NHS and Public Health England saying there is nothing out there like this in the world. What we're doing is really unique. And so all of that I forgot to mention, whilst having a child. So all of that was possible because I gave up alcohol, and I found this massive amount of increased time and increased energy. And I think, really, as I described this the other day, it's like taking off the alcohol-tinted glasses in life and seeing it for what it really is and getting that energy back.
Now, let's talk about the idea of the different levels of challenges. So you guys have the 30 or 90 days. What's the difference? Andy, why don't you chime in? What results do you see if someone says, I'm going to do it for 30 versus doing 90? I mean, do they build upon each other? Does it become, you know, do you have people that just do the 30 and then they decide to go for 90, or the 30, they just do it sporadically? Like maybe during odd months, they'll do the 30 yeah. and then they'll the next month they're, you know, they'll go on a bender. Like, I don't know. Dive into that a little bit for me.
All right, well, let's kick it off. Any time off is better than none, firstly. But a lot of people start with 30 days, and what we continually say is, if you can do 30, you can do 90, and if you can do 90, you can do the 365. But really, the magic happens, we feel, is around 90 days. And the reason for that is you can take 30 days off the drink, and you can lock yourself away socially. You know, you can cancel the calendar. You can, you know, dream of day 31 when you can go out and, as you said, go on an absolute bender. And you don't really learn too much, if you know what I mean. Most people can take a break of 30 days, but they miss the magic because, as we discussed earlier, during the 90 days, you're going to have the wedding, the business meeting, whatever it is, you're going to have to restructure your social life. You're going to have to completely change your relationship with alcohol. You are going to have to function without it. You know, those social crutches need to come off. And it's during that that you notice the productivity, the extra energy, the vitality, all these wonderful things start flooding back. We see it all the time. People get to the 30 days, you'll be in the Facebook groups, or they'll send us emails, go, this is great. And then you'll see it around 60 or 80 or 90. They just really get it. And then it's that those big wow moments. You know, they feel fitter, they've lost weight, everything starts to come together. So as much as we love, you know, people to take any type of break, whether that be a week or a day for that matter, really the magic is if you can go for the 90, I think that's where you're going to see the big benefits.
Let's talk about the day that we already talked about, like, no tomorrow. And Rory, why don't you, I'd like to hear both of you on this, because I mean, so let's say that you look at the calendar and you say, you know, I'm going to start it on January 1st. And I know you've got a blog post that talks about, you know, January. And you know, if you've listened to me talk about my stuff, I never start my year. I'm not a big believer in New Year's resolutions. I think that they're very dangerous, because it, like, you know, you say you're going to quit something for, you know, 31 days and you do it and you're like, okay, if it falls off the wagon, it's okay. Because everybody falls off the New Year's resolution bandwagon, right? But is it, how much of a, you place an emphasis on the idea of having like a landmark start date, like say the birthday or something like that? Or is it better in your estimation to say, no, I'm just going to start today? Like,
yeah, get stuck in. Absolutely, get stuck in. And while we're talking about, you know, who this is aimed for, so I know that some people might be listening to this. Some of you might be listening to this and saying, well, I'm not quite that heavy a drinker, and I'm in check. I don't really need to worry about my drinking, you know, blah 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 blah. Anyone who is drinking over the recommended amount, and in the UK that's 14 units, so just to explain, that's 2 bottles of wine a week. Anyone who is drinking over that level, I'm telling you now that you will benefit enormously from giving up for 90 days. And it is in that 2 to 3 month period where the real magic will happen for you, the real clarity, the real energy. That's when it'll start to change.
Can I just jump in there? Something we haven't really touched on yet is sleep. Sleep is so important. I'm sure, you know, on the productivity podcast, it is number one. You know, you've got Arianna Huffington, you know, just released a book on it, Sean Stevenson, the podcast. Yep. It's so important to productivity. We all know when we're lacking sleep, things just don't happen. Life's a slog. And alcohol, we've seen this firsthand. We know this. Even a small amount, even that one pint. So that's exactly to expand on what Rui was saying there. You might be sitting there listening going, well, I only have 2 drinks every evening. You know, I have a bottle of beer every evening. I don't drink a lot excessively. But those 2 drinks are affecting your sleep. Fact. And we know this. We've had people come through the system and it has changed their life on just the sleep alone. They've spent the last 20 years feeling tired, constantly groggy, drinking alcohol, sometimes to get them to sleep. You know, unbeknownst to them, it's the actual very thing that's affecting their sleep. So they're not productive. You know, they're sluggish. They haven't got the energy, that vitality. So sleep is so important. And even a small amount of alcohol will affect your sleep.
It's amazing that, you know, what we put into our bodies, how little we understand that it affects us in many ways. Coffee, a great example. Like coffee, people like, I have my cup of coffee in the morning so that I can get up and go. But the problem with coffee for a lot of people is that the caffeine is a big high and then the dip, the big dip. Whereas tea is a long drawn out process of caffeinated, you know, pleasure or bliss, if you want to call it that, right? But alcohol, you're right. Like, I mean, if people will say, oh, I need to unwind and relax, I'm going to have a beer or whatever. If you do that at, you know, 10 at night, okay, you're going to have a tough time sleeping. And I mean, as a night owl, that's one of the things that I've been professing to others that are night owls. I'm like, don't get caught in the, like, it's the witching hour. Let me go out and let me have a beer before I go to bed. No, sure. I mean, if you're a night owl and you're productive at night, avoid it. Like, don't be drinking, because when you're finally ready to go to sleep, you need to be able to sleep, because unlike the rest of the, you know, the rest of the world's going to wake up at 8, 9, and you better be ready to go.
Yeah.
So it's very tricky there too. Now I want to spend a little bit more time talking about the mindful components of it, because meditation is something that you guys talk about a bit on your site as well. And I mean, a lot of the stuff you guys are talking about is related to, you know, peak performance and health where alcohol can come in, and where the One Year No Beer movement can definitely help with that. But it can also help with the idea of mindfulness. Isn't that correct? And Rui, why don't we start with you?
Andy's the man for this.
Ah, Andy. Then let's start with Andy. Even though his last name is Savage, I think, or Ramage. I said Savage. Ramage.
I've been called worse. Believe me. I started out my life as a professional footballer, and I got very used to the fans using and abusing me all day long.
Well, as a guy who's just started to get into football, and I'll use the real term, with Vardy now being a guy that's a name, the synonymous with football at this point, I'm actually paying attention to that now too. So anyways, Andy, dive into the mindfulness component.
Yeah, and this is something that's very dear to my heart. I'm qualified mindfulness awareness coach and all these things, and well read on the subject, and I wanted to bring this into it. One, because we've got a lot of men coming through the system, which is quite interesting. And I wanted to slowly introduce the idea of mindfulness to lots of these people, because I think it's so important. And I think it was for me, definitely, mindfulness gave me that sort of extra awareness that I needed at the time to actually be aware of your habits. I think that's so important. So many people are just sleepwalking. I'm not necessarily talking about the actual practice of mindfulness. We can come on to that, but actually just being aware of what's going on. You know, we sleepwalk for our lives. You know, we eat the same things, we drink the same thing, and people just don't stick around to question what's going on. And it wasn't until actually I got involved in mindfulness that you actually start to, you know, wake up to these things, and everything started to change. So we've slowly drip fed it into the support email. We talk about it here and there. We haven't tried to sort of force it on anyone, because I think people don't like being told what to do. But slowly but surely, people are picking up on this. And then we've had a lot more requests for mindfulness. And at the moment, we point them to the obvious place, which is Headspace. And there's the app I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yep.
Just to give them that experience, because I think it's so important that people are actually aware of what's going on in their lives.
Now, you guys have meetups too, right? Now, are they only happening generally in the UK at this point, or is there happening across the world?
We're working on our first Vancouver meetup coming shortly. The answer to that is that if you want to host a meetup of people who are not drinking and use our system, then host something. And we've got a first couple coming up. We've got somebody doing a bowling night in central London that has been organized by one of our members. But the other element of this is that we've had quite a big response for our fitness, our challenges. So one of the key elements of 1 year no beer is that you book into a challenge. Now, this should be after your 90 days and something which, you know, is beyond your means now, which will force you to focus on, you know, get a bit of exercise over the challenge. So it could be a Tough Mudder or a marathon or whatever. And so we've had, you know, 20 odd people at the Dublin Marathon. We've done Tough Mudders with groups of people at Tough Mudder. And that will only grow. So again, and I think that's a fantastic way to meet up.
Yeah. And I mean, actually this would be an interesting way to look at it. So for these meetups, are they happening in drinking establishments just to like kind of, or are they removed from that? Or
100%.
Does it matter? Yeah. They're totally in there, right? You want them there,
100%,
right?
100%. Yeah. This is about proving to you that you can live a perfectly normal, fantastic, even better life without alcohol. So we're going to meet you at all the places where you fear it the most and stand with you side by side and say, you know what, actually, this is fine. You're standing here with a non-alcoholic drink. And a lot of drinking alcohol is just psychology. It's just habit. You know, it's, oh, I feel I need this. I feel done that. And once you start to switch out for non-alcoholic alternatives, very quickly, you've forgotten about it. What about 90 days?
What are some of the non-alcoholic alternatives? We mentioned, and there's drydrinker.com, which I'll link to in the show notes. But we mentioned, you know, obviously like the de-alkalized beer. What are some of the other ones that people are gravitating towards? I mean, water would obviously be one, but maybe ones that have some flavoring or something that will kind of curb some of that need for like either a carbonated beverage or something that's got a little bit more flavor to it.
Well, one of the most exciting ones come out of the UK at the moment is a product called Seedlip, and that is the world's first non-alcoholic distilled spirit.
Hmm.
And they're going absolutely mad about it in London at the moment. You know, all the bars, because they can finally make cocktails with a spirit base. So I've got a bottle of that here, and then you know you've got non-alcoholic ciders, Copperbergs. There's lots of, you know, alternative drinks now. Kombucha, a lot of people are drinking the teas and things. So really, I think in the early stages, a lot of people switched to like the non-alcoholic beers, mocking drinks to try and get away from that peer pressure. But then later move on to just being, you know, it's an amazing feeling when you go out socially and say, I don't drink. And then you just feel comfortable drinking water.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like tonic. Like what I do here, and this is more for my soda, the soda problem, is I will have like the soda stream and I'll just throw some like fresh lime or lemon inside of it. And even the water I'm drinking right now, I'm drinking water. I've got an infuser inside of it and it's lemon water. And I've got a cucumber water upstairs because, I mean, I want to drink more water, but, you know, you want to spice it up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So this has got to be a question for you, mm-hmm. Mike, is you know, what sort of, how much are you drinking at the moment? And do you think from our conversation that you would benefit from doing 90 days?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I don't drink, I probably have... you know, when there's beer in the fridge, it gets drunk. I mean, one of the cool things that happened is I've had a beer cellar over a long period of time, and I've let that thing dwindle down to almost nothing. I've gifted some of the stuff away. We still have a couple of vertical tastings that we'd like to do. But by and large, I'm not drinking as much. But if there's beer in the fridge, I will drink it. And so I think for me, the big benefit would be a 90-day challenge would help because I'm also trying to get in better shape. And I want to definitely touch on the idea of family and how that plays a role too. But I'm going to be 42 in July. I'm not getting any younger. And yeah, when I have a beer, I notice it. When I have a drink, I notice it more. And it's not... maybe it's wisdom meeting knowledge at this point when you get to this age where it's like, where do I want to put my energy? Where do I want to put my time? And, you know, the ability to not have that, you know, there is, I think, powerful. I mean, you used to think like, oh boy, I can't do it. But there's a power behind it that I've never, you know, and I think I have to thank guys like Di Manuel, who's written the Whole Life Manifesto. And then, you know, other people that I've talked to who said, you know, like if you remove that and you see the results, I've had blood work done when I was doing fitness, like food, you know, dietary changes. And my cholesterol dropped 28%. You know, things like that, when you remove things like, you know, too much meat in your diet and, you know, you go with more of a vegetable based, it doesn't mean you, and that's, I think, the problem with a lot of this. And I love the fact that you guys are saying, look, if you fall down, you fall down. I mean, it's, but you've got a support community there. You've got all that stuff there. So when you do fall down, no one's going to beat you up, but they're also going to encourage you to get back on the horse. Whereas I think a lot of situations, whether it's nutrition diet, even productivity strategies, which we see with different productivity methodologies, if you fall off, if you miss something, it's like bad Mike or bad Andy or bad Ruri. Like, you know, you there's no incentive to stick to it, and you get a lot of quantitative results from it, but the qualitative results are often, you know, you don't measure those nearly as effectively. And I think that, you know, when I saw the blood, like I would look at my, you know, when I was working out, I would see that I'd be losing weight. And then all of a sudden I started gaining weight again. And I'm like, why am I gaining weight? Well, because my fat's turning to muscle and muscle weighs more than fat. But your brain goes, I'm not losing weight. Why am I doing this? Forget this noise. And then you go back to the old habits, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's important. I think for me, to do a 90 day. And yeah, I mean, as we were sitting there talking, the reason I asked you about the whole like benefit of having a specific day to start is maybe I'll start on my birthday or maybe I'll start on this day. And I'm looking at my calendar and I'm like, I'm going to the World Domination Summit in August. And that's going to be a real challenge because I'm going to Portland and I'm speaking and there's going to be a lot of stuff there. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Why don't I just start today? Like today? Like, why don't I just start now?
And then
then that's it. Like remove the friction from it. So, I think that, yeah, I definitely think, and I think that more people, if they looked at it through that lens, they're going to see it as opposed to subtraction. Look at it as a point of like, I'm not removing alcohol, but look what I get, you know, as a result. Like if I remove alcohol from the equation, these are the benefits of it. And here's the way I get those benefits is by removing alcohol.
That sounds amazing. And let's get started. And in 90 days from now, we'll get you on our podcast and you can tell everybody exactly what's happened for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? The 90 days is key because if it was 30 days, The only thing that happens between now and the next 30 days, and we're recording this as we record this in June, I would be, my birthday happens. So that's the only thing that would happen. But over 90 days, I've got my birthday. I've got the World Domination Summit that's happening. I've got, and by the time that wraps up, I'm off to San Diego to do FinCon. So I would imagine that, and I've seen this happen already, when I was doing the Whole 30 plan and when I was doing the 90 DC challenge that my friend Chris Watt gave me, 30 days, once 30 days was done, I wanted to do more. Like the Whole 30, I've ate better since then. And, you know, the 90 day challenge I've done with Chris, I've stuck to a whole food plant-based diet largely, which is funny because the Whole 30 is mostly about eating more meat. I've become mostly vegetarian at this point with a bit of meat here and there. But it's not an all or nothing thing. And I think that's the big thing for some people. And they try to, the other thing is what and maybe you could speak to this too, is that they try to do too much all at once. Say, I'm going to stop drinking and I'm going to eat better and I'm going to do this. And that, like, does that set yourself up for success if you don't plan it properly? I don't think so. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very similar actually in that, you know, I eat almost a vegan diet at the moment. But you're right that some people do try and take on too much at once. You know, they're not going to drink, they're going to get healthy, they're going to get fit. So I think there is a natural progression towards that. But I think definitely giving up alcohol and going against the conventional wisdom does start you questioning everything. And that's what we were sort of talking about earlier, about these knock-on effects, these subtle effects that people just don't pick up on. They think giving up alcohol is about, you know, getting rid of hangovers. That's just a small, tiny bit of it. It's about actually changing your life. And that's what it's doing for a lot of people. You know, for example, I gave up alcohol. And then when I started to feel good again, I actually noticed when I was eating certain foods that it made me tired, because I never noticed it before, because I was constantly sort of hungover, or, you know, I'd always just blame it on the drink, you know, for example. But then I'd ever go and have a big steak and want to, you know, sleep at the desk in the office. And I thought, well, maybe I'll start to look into this whole diet thing, you know, because I was pretty much a salad dodger, steak eater at that stage, as most people in the city tend to be. And then that refinement started to a vegetarian diet, to a vegan diet, all, you know, along the lines of productivity for that exact reason. But the catalyst to that was giving up alcohol.
And with Andy on that one, I thought I was IBS for most of my life. And, you know, I've suffered from it, you know, and all around me have suffered from it. And until I gave up booze, went for a test, I'm just lactose intolerant. You know, and okay, well, why didn't you check it out before? Well, when you've got alcohol tinted glasses on, you don't check things out. But so it's only when you make that realize. And one thing I wanted to just say there with you, Mike, is that there's this thing that none of us are thinking about that we're all doing unconsciously, which is drinking. And, you know, I'm sure being a productivity expert, you've seen the film Limitless. Well, giving up alcohol is what I believe is limitless. Instead of taking a pill every day, all we're going to get you to do is stop drinking. And the awakening that will happen within you is like the limitless.
Guys, this has been great. Thank you so much. I will definitely want to be talking to you after this. So, I mean, while this episode will generally be airing at the tail end of it, I will be putting at the beginning and ending how I did. So that'll be awesome for people to hear. So people will hear that. And then I'd love to jump on yours as well. People can go where to sign up for the challenge, and where can they find each of you online?
So the best place is to go to www.oneyearnobeer.com. And that'll take you into all the sign-up process. We have a very active Facebook group. It's a closed Facebook group. Search for it on Facebook, 1 Year No Beer. Andy and I are in there every day. And the other way to reach us is Andy or Ruri at oneyearnobeer.com, and we answer every email. We're around, happy to offer any tips and advice. Get in touch.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Productivities Podcast, guys. And thanks for putting me up to this challenge.
Amazing. Thanks for taking it, Mike.
Great stuff. Thanks, Mike.
So there you have it. Now you know, 90 days. I am doing 90 days of this challenge. Now, when I recorded this, obviously, I was on day zero. As of this recording of the outro, when I'm recording this, I'm on day 53 with no alcohol. Now, I will say that I haven't focused as much on the exercise and the mindfulness stuff. I'm pretty good with the mindfulness stuff. I need to get more into Headspace again. But I definitely need to get back on the exercise train. That's always a challenge for me. But my diet has improved as well. I'm still doing a whole food plant-based diet with a little bit of meat here and there, but not much. And I'm noticing, I've noticed already the difference of not having alcohol in my life in basically what's equivalent to the 2 month period at this point. I am drinking the near beer equivalents and I'm finding some good ones, but I'm trying to even steer clear of that as well. It's funny. I didn't share this even on the Patreon episode, but I'll share it with you now. One of the things that happened during the 90 days is my birthday happened and I turned 42 years old and my mother decided that she would send me something from a florist. And I thought, oh, it's going to be some flowers. How nice. No, she sent me a beer K, which is basically a bunch of beer and some pretzels and like junk food and stuff in a really cool basket. And I saw the six pack of beer in there and I was like, well, I guess that's sitting in the fridge. I have not had one of them yet. I've shared it with friends. And I don't know how much more alcohol. I think this is definitely going to change my habits for the long haul. So 90 days, I'm not going to confirm that I'll never have another sip of alcohol again. I don't think that's an issue for me. I think the importance is to, you know, just know what effect it has on me and on my productivity, especially as I'm working on these big projects and how I can use it to, how you know, having it not there is more helpful than having it there. So maybe you might want to take a challenge on like this. Head over to 1yearnobeer.com. Check out what they have to offer. I want to thank Ruri and Andy for joining me on the show this week. I want to thank John Polstra for putting this episode of the podcast together. Sorry, John, when we're down at World Domination Summit, which this episode will be airing around that time, I won't be able to have a beer with you. And Portland, that's a place where lots of beer is happening, but unfortunately, can't happen there, but I want to thank you for helping, for producing the show and helping putting this together every week. Now, there was additional content that you didn't hear during this episode, if you're listening to this edition, because Patreon supporters get additional content every week, not just during the weekly podcast, but during bonus episodes as well. So, what you will do is if you want to get additional content, what you should do is go to patreon.com/productivityist. And sign up for one of the many perks that are there. There's different levels. There's actually only four. But you'll be able to sign up for one of those perk levels. And what you'll do is you'll get additional content, weekly episodes, additional bonus content depending on what tier you choose. You can even get coaching experience. There's a limited amount of coaching slots there as well. So head over to patreon.com/productivityist to make that happen. If you can't or don't want to or aren't ready to do it yet, just give the show a rating, a review, give us some feedback in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening to this podcast, so that way we can make the show better. That's it for this week. I'm off to have a near beer. Until next time, I am your host, Mike Vardy, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.